Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, and this is Sachina Kirkendall, and you're tuned in to another episode of Chronicles of a Favorite Woman. I thank you so much for tuning in tonight. I started my show off a little different. I just noticed that. So, but anyway, thank you for being here. Like I said, this is Sachina Kirkendall, and you're tuning in into another episode of Chronicles of a Favorite Woman. When I think of the goodness of Jesus and all he has done for me, my soul cries out, hallelujah. Thank God for saving me. I say that every Sunday because every day I'm just grateful. Every evening I am just grateful. And, you know, tonight's not going to be any different. I'm so excited about tonight. I can't wait to get into it. So, you know, I don't start to show off without prayer, so let's just get into it. Let's do it now. So, Father, in the name of Jesus, we just thank you and we praise you. We give you the honor and we give you the praise. And, Lord, as we come tonight, Lord, talking about this very important subject tonight, Lord, I thank you for all the times that you have carried me through. I thank you for all the times you have carried my speaker through and all those who are tuning in live or during the replay. I thank you, Lord. You are worthy to be praised. And Lord, as we come before your throne, as I come before your throne, I humble myself and I ask you, I'm decreasing Puccina, and I invite your Holy Spirit to come in, Lord. I thank you and I praise you, Lord, because you are worthy to be praised. And I thank you for those who are desired to hear the show tonight, that it will be a blessing, it will be nourishment. I thank you, Jesus, for allowing us the opportunity to be your vessels, Lord. And it's in Jesus' name I ask and pray. Amen. So, Lord, I thank you all for tuning in. As I mentioned, this is Sachina Kirkendall with Chronicles of a Favorite Woman. I had to get my ringer off there. Anyway, tonight's show is going to be special to me because it's one of the things that I have, when people have described me with adjectives, this is one of the ones that I hear a lot of, especially from one of my classmates, resilience. How many of us can say that we have been resilient throughout our life? Think about some of the things you have gone through, some of the things you're still here to talk to us about. Resilience. It takes resiliency to get through. I was going through as I was preparing for the show tonight and preparing for my guest that's coming up, and I was just looking up resilience and how it's defined. And according to parentingofthebrain.com, this is the best description I love. I saw it because it was in reference to children. But don't resilience starts from when we're children? And it says, I quote, resilience is defined as the process of handling stress and recovery from trauma and adversity. One of my favorite songs in this world is by Aaliyah. And it was on the movie Romeo Must Die. But that song always rings in my head, and it did when I was prepared for this show. And in the lyrics of the song, it says, if at first you don't succeed, dust yourself off and try again. And how many times have we done that? Look at where you are, where you were, and where you are now. And you ask yourself, how did I get here? Please know when I just you. Okay, just know that. But if we didn't go through the stuff that we went through in the past, we wouldn't be the person that we are in the future. I mean, here and now. And in the future. And this particular guest, I was so drawn to her, I couldn't wait to get her on the show tonight so she could share her story. Her name is Miss Crystal Josiah, and I'm going to introduce the song and present to others Miss Crystal Josiah, and we're going to get her on the stage here so we can start chopping it up. So, Crystal, thank you so much for accepting the invitation. I am so looking forward to us topping it up because there's so many people that need to hear your story. How are you this evening?
Thank you so much. I'm doing well. I am looking forward to chopping it up as well.
Yes, exactly. I just got into that word, so now I just...
I love it.
Such old school, but I was like, oh, I really like that. So I love it because that's what it is. That's exactly what it is. So I have three questions for you. Who are you? Who are you? What do you do? And why do you love what you do?
Well, first of all, I am Krista Josiah. I am love. I am resilient. I am patient. I am faithful. I am loyal. And I deserve everything that I am going for.
Well.
So. And you asked me, what do? I am I'm a resiliency coach, and what I do is I help clients to incorporate resilience in their lives in order to show up in the world as the priceless diamonds that they are meant to be. Diamonds are resilient, and that is what I that is my goal, and that is what I represent, and that is what I want people to represent. And then you said, why do I love what I do? I love what I do because of what a person experienced on the other side of resilience. Because I've been on the side where I wasn't resilient at one time. And what resilience produces, and it is that priceless diamond. And I feel like that both men and women are priceless diamonds. Men deserve diamonds too. Most definitely.
Exactly. You know, as I was getting to know you and, you know, finding out more about you now, I'll get into what you do later, the result of what you're doing. But I want to get into your story. I want to really get into your story. You say that you're resilient. Why?
I'm resilient because I have to be. And not only because I have to be, but because people depend on me and I depend on me. So I know that there's something more than just what I've been through. And so in order for me to be resilient, well, being resilient helps me to help others be resilient.
Yeah, but you got to that point. Let's go back, if you don't mind, if you're comfortable with it. Let's go back to the point where that led up to you being resilient. What happened?
Oh, yeah.
What's your...
Yes. So I come from very, very humble beginnings. I come from, like I said, humble beginnings. I suffered abuse as a child, and... It's a pattern, you know. My mom went through it, and then from my mom, it trickled down to myself. You know, we witnessed some of that as children, and then as a result of witnessing that, that was a way of life. That was something that was that I was used to. So it was my norm. See, we all have what is normal to us. And so that required resilience in my life, even growing up in elementary school, growing up in middle school and high school, all of that, being in that type of environment required resilience. And you just have to never underestimate yourself in regards to what you can achieve and what you can do and what you can overcome. And so, like I said, that led to a lot of, I would say, bad choices, a lot of confusion, you know, and a lot of being misguided. Because when you're in that type of environment, you can't really necessarily make, I would say, the best decision for yourself. And growing up in that, like I said, I made some bad choices in men, which I looked at, and I looked at the wrong type of person and said that this is love and this is okay, when it really wasn't. But like I said, that was my norm. And I definitely made the wrong choice. Not just once. It was a crisis.
I get it.
Yes, it turned into a vicious cycle until I made up my mind that, hey, you know what? This don't feel right.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and then you want something more. You want something different. But I'll say this. Mm-hmm. Those decisions was made at a young age. And so, you know, when you raised in that type of environment and you're a young teenager, and it led to me being, I would say, a people pleaser, because I wasn't confident. I wasn't confident in myself, you know, as a kid, and then also as a young teenager. You know, that environment comes with a lot, especially when you grow up in an environment where you are to do as you're told, and that is it. You don't have a voice. You do as you're told. You don't have any question about it or any opinion about it. Well, that wasn't me. I was a vibrant kid, and I wasn't scared of nothing. Not like I'm fearful, I'm not fearful, and I'm sad. Not like that. Like, I wasn't fearful. Like, I was just really friendly. I'll say that. And so that also was an issue too, because at the same time, like I said, when you're in that environment, I didn't want to be judged, and I didn't want anyone to be upset with me or be mad at me or anything like that, you know, because like I said, when you're being shut down like that and you don't have a voice or an opinion, then that makes you think less of yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And so when you think less of yourself, you just want to be accepted and loved by somebody. And at that point, it's like, okay, well, it doesn't really matter who it is. Oh, okay, they love me. All right, cool. You know,
but as long as you got that true love.
Right. And, you know, coming up, and I'm three of seven children, being raised, you know, by a single mom. And it's like, she's going to lack somewhere. I have two children, two. And I came up, and when I became a single mom, it's like, wait, whoa. Stretch thin. Can you imagine trying to stretch yourself with seven different personalities, seven different children? That is a lot for one person.
It really is.
Do you know how strong you have order to do that? Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Oh, please. I'm sorry. Be the room. Well, I didn't mean to interrupt, but since we're at this break here, I want to thank those who are tuning in. You're tuning into Chronicles of a Favorite Woman. My name is Kachina Kirkendall, and I have the privilege and the pleasure of having Ms. Crystal Josiah, and we're talking about resilience. You know, when I got a chance to talk to Crystal on a prior occasion, and as she's sharing tonight, you know, the title of the show is perfect. My resilience became my strength, and my testimony. And Crystal is a perfect example, a shining example of that. And what I wanted to say, I just want to kind of recap on a couple of things that you mentioned. You mentioned that in your past, you were abused. There are some things that you just didn't grow up knowing, because you're right. As children, sometimes we are seen, we are told to be seen and not heard, or do as I say and not as I do, you know, mm-hmm. one of those type of environments. And so you pretty much have to try to figure things out on your own. And here you indicated that, you know, you are 3 out of 7 children. And yes, being a single mother myself, I truly understand how you could be stretched thin, especially when you still got other stuff you're dealing with. And when I say by other stuff, I'm talking about stuff that you grew up doing, and sometimes you find yourself doing it. I'm not sure if that applies to you or not, but we and us as parents, we model it, we mimic how we were raised until we realize, like, wait a minute, I don't like that. So, you know, let's kind of change that. And I'm not knocking our parents now. I'm not knocking that. Mm-hmm. But sometimes what mm-hmm. works for them does not work for the others, and in this case, our children. So you just take those skills. But as a result, it led to bad choices in your life from your environment that you came from. And so mm-hmm. I know you mentioned about making bad choices in men, and then have being a people pleaser. I mean, how many of us fall into that category? I remember doing that myself, trying to please people because it kept the heat off of me, or, you know, as long as it kept the heat off of me, I was good. But then let me ask you this. As a result of being a people, did you find yourself losing yourself trying to please everyone else?
Yes. So many times I lost myself, you know, just as a human being, period. I lost myself as a woman. I lost myself mm-hmm. as a mother, you know. And I was so wrapped up into making sure that everyone else was taken care of, making sure that everyone else was pleased and okay, to the point where I neglected me and my mm-hmm. needs. Mm-hmm. And it would be the simple mm-hmm. things, the simplest things mm-hmm. that we as a woman can do to care for ourselves. Something as simple as making sure that I eat. Not only that I eat, but I eat right. You know,
exactly.
Making sure that I comb my hair. Now, don't get me wrong. A lot of the times I made sure that I was on point. But it was those
right.
times where I had those self-sabotaging moments where I didn't do anything for myself.
Mm-hmm.
And that was because I was drained, because I was so into making sure that the other person was pleased.
Would you say that you didn't have a voice?
Yes. Most definitely. Yeah. I would say for
Yeah, you didn't have the voice. Did you find yourself, I'm just asking because I can relate to you in so many ways, but did you find yourself where things have to be, I don't know how to sugarcoat things, so I'm not going to try now.
Don't sugarcoat it. Be a straight
shooter. I appreciate that. I guess what I'm trying to get is, you know, I went through a point in my life where I was so busy trying to please everybody, you know, and not pleasing myself. I didn't know who I was and whose I was. So if someone wasn't telling me how to do something, then I was lost. And it led to it. So I just want to know, did you go through that?
Yes, I went mm-hmm. through that. And I went through that mm-hmm. for a very long time. So it was a lot that mm-hmm. I didn't know, that even like the basics, I didn't know them. And I had to mm-hmm. learn the hard way. and speaking on not having a voice, when you don't have a voice, it's like you stated earlier with being in a household where you're told you're not supposed to be heard. Mm-hmm. Well, that led to me being the loud person.
Mm-hmm.
I was the loud person in school. I talked loud, I laughed loud, because I didn't get attention that I needed at home. And so I thought it was okay to be loud. And mm-hmm. I was a loud and fun person, you know. And like I said, which led to bad decisions.
mm-hmm. When you say bad decisions, what do you mean by bad decisions?
Oh, okay. So bad decisions, I mean picking the wrong
people.
You can
give a general overview of that. You don't have to go. Yeah.
Like, I'll just say picking the wrong people. So with my first child, in that relationship, I was abused in that relationship. And, and it was bad. It was bad. And with being resilient, you described the definition, you know, is being able to overcome the obstacles, and you get yourself back up and you try again, right? The Aaliyah song. And that was me. I was committed. I was committed 100% because I knew that I was going to fight this and I was going to make this work because I'm strong. So we have to be careful of what we consider to be strong, because to be a strong woman does not mean our strength is not measured by how much abuse we can take from someone. Our value is not measured by that. We are much more valuable than being able to endure pain, physical abuse, verbal abuse, mental abuse, financial abuse. Mm-hmm. And so many times as women, we overlook it and we don't want to be a statistic, so we hang in there and we suffer. But for how long will we allow ourselves to continue to suffer for the name of love?
Oh, now, yeah, and what you define as love is this, and based on what I'm hearing from you, your definition of love was different.
Mm-hmm.
Or your understanding of love was different. Am I correct on that?
Mm-hmm. You are definitely correct. I did not understand what love was, because the example that was given. And so we can only assume that that's what it is until we truly experience what real love is. And we have to figure that out for ourselves.
You know, I, as I listen to you talk, I hear myself so many ways, and I see some of the people who's on the live who can relate to what you're talking about this idea, this definition we call love. But, you know, love can be toxic if you're not careful. And people are only going, sometimes they only receive what they know. So if the love that you grew up with was toxic, guess what you end up accepting in your life?
Right.
Toxic love.
Mm-hmm.
Until you get to that point, as you said, when you realize who we are and whose we are, and now we got to make a decision. Now we got to make a decision. At what point did you get to that point when you was in that marriage or when you was in that toxic situation that you knew that you had to make a change?
excuse me. So I knew I had to make a change. I didn't know how, but I knew that I couldn't go on in the relationship once I found out that I was pregnant. pregnant, you know,
mm-hmm.
And I was young. So, of course, that relationship had to end because all I could think about is, okay, well, what if it goes too far? Because I didn't care enough about myself to leave. You see what I'm saying? That was part of the toxicity and not caring for myself. So I didn't care enough about myself to leave before I got pregnant. But I did care enough to leave once I did get pregnant.
Because it was someone there.
Yes, because it was
someone
there
that you was responsible for. Yeah, yes. It's because you had a responsibility. And isn't it funny how God works? You know, he will still be with us in the good and the bad, even when he tells us, hey, I need you to leave this situation. And you will still stick in there. You know what we do? I love him. Oh, I love him. And it's really not. You know, but we're just happy just to get that attention. We're just happy to feel accepted and stuff because of what we lacked when we were growing up. And realize, you know, not realizing we are making the situation worse than what it is. Not realizing. But, Lord, thank you, God, for grace, right? Thank you, Lord, for grace and mercy.
Yes. And for
look
you.
At us now, you know. Look at us now. Like I said, for those who are just tuning in, my name is Patina Kirkendall, and you're tuning into Chronicles of a Favorite Woman. And I am here with my guest, Ms. Crystal Josiah, and we are talking about resilience, how her resilience became her strength and now her testimony. And that is what we're talking about tonight. And I just want to thank you for tuning in and just being transparent because there are other people out there going through stuff like that. And sometimes you just got to hear that, hey, I'm not by myself. And there are people out there such as Ms. Crystal, such as myself, such as many people who will be listening, you know, who is listening in on the live and will be listening in on the replay. But you're not alone. You're not alone. Mm-hmm. You are not alone. I'm just here to tell you that. And even though we go through, as Crystal mentioned, making bad, poor choices, you know, as a result, she finally got the power to do what she needed to do. And in this case, and in a lot of people's cases, myself included, you know, another person was put in our lives, our children.
Mm-hmm.
And if we don't draw strength from anything else, we're going to draw strength from something.
Mm-hmm.
And in this case, it was your child. It was your child. And so I commend you, one, for stepping up. And number two, for taking that leap of faith to get out the situation that you're in. So I commend you for that because I'm sure there was a struggle. I'm sure you went through, you know, the self-doubt, you know, and kind of go into with me. Did you have that self-doubt? Did you have that, like,
let me tell you, I had self-doubt beyond what a person could imagine. I had, I lacked confidence in myself.
Mm-hmm.
I lacked confidence in my abilities. I was lost. I was broken. I was broke down. I did not know what to do. And I didn't know which was worse, whether it was the physical abuse or the mental abuse. I couldn't tell you because I was young. I was 19. My first boyfriend. You think you know what you're doing?
Yeah.
You was fun and all that.
Exactly. You can't tell us nothing either.
I know, right? He was all buzzing. Okay. And, the self-doubt was definitely there. And I tell you this, when I decided to go, of course, I had my moments where, and this is what I tell people, you know, you have your moments where you're weak. where you are weak, and sometimes you may go back or you may fall back. But what you have to do is sing that song. And it's funny that you picked that song, because I'm like, that song is perfect.
I love
you
that.
You gotta
song.
Get that
it is,
up.
It is my go-to song. It is my I promise you, it is my go-to song. Yes, ma'am.
So you got to pick yourself and dust yourself off, and you try it again. And so
that's
what I did. Boom! I ran into another door.
Mm.
Like an 18-wheeler just smacked me.
Wow.
And I did it again. And this time, it wasn't physical. This time, it was mental. This time, it was mind game. This time, it was financial. This time, it was control. This time, it was just, I'm like, man, how did I get in this? I'm thinking the physical probably was better than the mental. Because once they get in your head,
that's where you start. Manipulation.
Ooh. Yes.
Manipulation. Once they get into that cycle, into your head, they got everything else. Yeah.
And see, I didn't know.
I do understand.
Yeah, I didn't know. I didn't even know how to take a compliment. Something as small as a cup. I didn't know how to receive it, how to accept it.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody would, and I don't say everybody because I don't, I wouldn't say I'm just the most, but when somebody gave me a compliment, I would downplay, I would minimize the compliment.
Mm-hmm.
I would step into a room and I'd minimize myself. I know, you're great. But you minimize yourself because I've been minimized for so long.
It becomes the norm.
It becomes the norm to shrink back. Mm-hmm. And that's what I did. Because I was told to always be quiet. You don't have an opinion. Hush.
But look at you now. Look at you
and
now.
So that, thank you. And that became a way of life for a long time. Until I decided
that's all
to
do
it otherwise. Yeah.
That's all you knew. And you only work with all you knew at all you know at that moment in your life. You know?
Correct.
When you look back now, where you see yourself where you were before, what God has brought you through, at what moment did you have that aha moment?
I had so many aha moments in this last where I fell back because it was a toxic cycle. But I would say the last aha moment would be when I decided that I was going to hire me a life coach.
Wow.
And I spoke to someone, and it was the last time that we just separated and said, you know what, this is not going to work. And I sat back and I evaluated. I evaluated the circumstance. And I was in the car. And all I could do was sit and reflect and cry, plead, and beg. And I don't know if anybody out there know what it means to supplicate. But when you supplicate, you crying. You're not holding nothing back. And you begging and you pleading for help. Help me get out of this.
And you are speaking to God.
Yes. Yes.
Yes.
Most definitely.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
at that moment, when I said that, please, please, Jehovah God, help me out of this.
Mm.
I do not know what's going on. I feel like I'm about to go crazy.
Mm.
And I received what I could.
Mm.
As a woman, I say this me as a woman, because I can't speak for every woman. But that kept me there, and I kept trying over and over again, because me, I didn't want to be a statistic. I didn't want my kids to see something different. I wanted them to have both parents. And see, if he was considered my first child, my daughter, was considered her dad because he'd been there since she was two.
Mm.
My child's 19 now. So this is how long I stayed in that cycle.
Mm.
And so I knew that I had...
Uh-huh. No, go ahead, please.
Oh, okay. I knew that I had to do something different. When it is funny when your child say, "Mama, why you keep doing this to yourself?"
Mm.
Your child.
Because they out of the mouth of babes. Because as
said,
much
Mama,
as we try
to keep doing it.
Exactly. They see.
Why you keep doing it? Give somebody. She said,
yeah.
"Give somebody who loves you, Mama."
Now, you know, when your child tells you, you know, as parents, we tend to think that our kids don't understand what's going on, but those kids understand what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
As,
mm-hmm.
you know, Kate
and at that point, at that point, I said, oh, my goodness, I'm sitting here and I'm thinking I'm doing what's best for them when I'm really hurting because I'm showing them this example. And I'm the example. I'm not setting a very good example.
Mm-hmm.
Especially for my girl.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I'm just like, oh, my gosh. What am I doing?
Mm-hmm. 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 You know, that, let me tell you something. You can have a lot of aha moments. But that aha moment comes when that child brings it to your attention. And, you know, prior to that, you know, as women and men, I'm not going to discount them, we get addicted. We get addicted to pain, especially when we don't have any self-worth. And we self-sabotage and we feel like we deserve what happened to us or what it is not. And sometimes pain is an addiction, too. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Pain is not comfortable, but it's faithful. Pain
is
faithful.
Hmm.
Anything like any addiction, it's faithful. And that's why as people, we have a tendency of drawing back to it because when we want to do better, it takes us out of a comfort zone. And sometimes, as you mentioned earlier, that there are times when you kept going back. You know, it's because you went to familiar surroundings. You knew that better was out there, but you knew your familiar surroundings. And in this case, your pain, your abuse, all of that was faithful to you. It didn't mean you know well, but it was faithful. But all you need is that eye opener. And in this case, it was your child. And all we can say is to God be the glory. To God be the glory. And you know, kids have a way of opening up your eyes to reality when, like you said, you're thinking you're doing something to protect when you're hindering the situation.
Yeah.
And this is where you stepped in and got a life coach. Is that, am I understanding the?
Yeah.
I figured. Yeah.
And you know, at that point, it was just, I'm telling you, my life just changed in everything. I made a decision, and that's what I tell people. It all starts with you first. It starts with you making a decision, because no matter what and no matter how hard it got, when I was still with my life coach, Amber Johnson, shout out to Amber, when I hooked up with her and she took me through that and we went through my past and we just dug in. And I mean, we dug deep, you know. And so, like I said, when you make that decision, you're willing to go through that. And I said, I'm going through it and I'm going to go through it one last time. This is it. I'm not going through it again. And when I come out on the other side, it's going to be for the better. And then once I come out on the other side, then I can help people. Because at this point, when I was, you know, I've always wanted to serve, but I wasn't ready then. I was still broken. I was still hurt. And believe me, when I tell you this is a life, this is a journey. We are forever healing, okay?
Yes.
As we change, as we grow older, things and situations change, so we're forever going after a higher version of ourselves.
And it goes back to what we were talking about earlier, you know, when we go through. You know, when you make the decision, when you get sick and tired of being sick and tired and you make that change, you do it. And you become, like Les Brown said, you become hungry. You become hungry because you see the better days are ahead. You become hungry because you know you got kids looking at you. You become hungry because now you're starting to love yourself. You love, and then now you realize who you are and whose you are. And I commend you for that. Commend you for that, because there is strength. Do you understand me? Yes, there are times we're going to fall backwards. Yeah, we do, but don't stay stuck. Just don't stay stuck. That's just the bottom line. I don't care what you got going on. I don't care if you're coming out of abuse. I don't care if you're coming out of addiction. You got to want it. You got to want it like your life depends on it. And and I commend you for another thing. You went and got a coach. I tell people, don't be ashamed to get help. Don't be ashamed, because I have a therapist, okay? I keep my therapist to keep me sane, because there are times when the enemy messes with you. It does. You know, I'll tell you about that later on. But anyway, but the enemy knows that, you know, he knows what's in store, and he is upset because now he doesn't have you anymore. And as a result, Ms. Crystal, look at you now. You're an advocator to help women, resilient women. And the best teacher, I always tell people, is people who have gone through it themselves. And you have. You know, your kids are older now. You know, now you know, you done came into you, knowing who you are. Because self-love is the first love when it comes to loving, besides the Lord, of course. But you've got to learn to love yourself, because when you don't, people will know that you don't love yourself. Will show, and they will treat you accordingly.
Okay.
When that is the case. Okay? Did you ever
definitely
in that situation?
No, I was just saying most definitely they can see you coming from a mile away, honey. And have some waiting for you.
Like a bloodhound. Like a bloodhound. You just like he comes to seek, steal, and destroy. Yes, he did. Do you find yourself You know, when people see the old person, you know, they remember the old person. They see the new person, but they still stuck in the old person. Do you run into that, and how do you handle it?
Oh, yes, yes. And, you know, how I handle that is I remember. I remember and I think back of the emotion and what I felt when I was an old person. And that reminds me of who I am now, who I am today. I remember it was a time I couldn't look in the mirror and tell myself that I was beautiful and that I love you or any of those things. So I remember that. Now that is what keeps me humble. And so when I see a person that's stuck on the old me and that wants to bring up the old me, I remember, hey, it's not me, it's you. See, because you haven't done the work. And so now that's your problem. Because I've moved on. I'm no longer that person.
How about that? And you said it. That's your problem. That's no longer my problem. That's your problem. I get it. Yeah. I get it. You know, and now that you have evolved, what are you doing now as a result of your resilience?
Now I am serving. I am serving. I am, and I'm happy doing it. I'm coaching, and I'm also sharing my story, and I'm also helping others to share their story so that we can impact the world and serve together on my podcast, which is the Christian Faith Podcast, and I go and it's every Saturday I go live on Facebook as well, and that's my goal.
What time is that?
That'll be 6 o'clock every Saturday Central Standard Time.
Got you. That's
my goal, is to impact as many people as we can with our stories, and to help people know that there is happiness, there is peace, there is the life that you deserve to live on the other side of the pain that you keep dealing with, that you refuse to let go. So that, like you said earlier, that's an addiction. But once you kick that addiction and you reach that other side, baby,
yes, ma'am,
so much more beautiful.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. Yeah, I want to read this poem I saw, and it reminded me of you. My mind, body, and spirit are strong. I embrace all life's challenges. I experience fear at times just like anyone else, but I refuse to let it define me. I believe positive thinking matters, but that I will succeed through planning, hard work, and determination. I choose happiness each day. I believe in the power of hope. I live my life with trust and courage. I am resilient. I make time to reflect and recharge. I ignore doubters and naysayers, especially if they are in my head. I continually nudge my comfort zone because I refuse to live a life that is simply good enough. I believe that love and compassion is a necessity, not a luxury. I trust that no matter what happens in my life, I will be okay because I am resilient.
Oh, I love that. Thank you.
I will send it to you. And not just, it's not just for Crystal. It's for every woman, every child, everyone who is going through. If at first you don't succeed, dust yourself off and try again. Better is on the way. Better is on the way. And as you know, I told you this 60 minutes was going to go by fast, right?
Yes.
I told you it was going to go by fast, yeah. So before we go, I want to make sure that people are aware of your show. So if you could just let them know the name of your show that you do and when you do it.
Okay. The name of the show is The Chris Effect Podcast, and I go live on Facebook every Saturday at 6 p.m. Central Standard Time.
Awesome. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Now, you're calling from the state of Texas, right?
Yes, I'm in Houston, Texas.
Yes, Houston. I've never been to Houston. I've been to Dallas, the Dallas metro area before, but always wanted to go. So maybe that'll be one. It won't be when y'all are hot because it's too hot there.
Yeah.
But other than that, but I thank you so much for.
You're welcome. Thank you for having me on. I was just going to say, yes, honey, it's a special kind of heat out here.
Yeah, it is. I'm special, honey. But before I leave, I can't help but to ask, for those who have gone through or who are going through stuff in their life, what nuggets of wisdom can you share with them?
My number one nugget of wisdom is to, first of all, keep God first in your life. First, that. The second is faith. Faith in him first, and then second, faith in you, and to know that you are capable and you are deserving and you can do it. Mm-hmm. If you don't do it for anybody else, make the decision to get to the other side for you.
Mm-hmm.
Choose you.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
And so whatever that means, you know, whatever you have to get rid of. I said this to somebody the other day. I think it was a post I made too. You know, I'll get rid of whatever is whoever to keep my peace.
I know that's right.
And to keep myself where I am and to keep elevating. And like one of my coaches told me, if you're in your comfort zone, then you're not growing. So always be reaching to grow and to serve.
Yeah. That is nice. And what if they want to do it but afraid? What would be your advice?
If they want to do what?
If they want to go to the next level but afraid.
If you afraid, honey, do it afraid. I was afraid when I left. I was afraid when I said, no, you can't come back. I didn't know where I was going to go, how I was going to provide for mine, because I was made to feel like being a stay-at-home mom and not, you know, reaching my full potential was where I was supposed to be.
Mm.
But I did it. And I made it. And so can you.
Amen. Amen. Yes, honey. Those who are tuning in, you're tuning into Chronicles of a Favorite Woman. My name is Fuchina Kirkendall, and I have the privilege and the pleasure of having Ms. Crystal Josiah on here this evening, who is just really bringing it when it comes to resilience. How many of us have gone through? We have gone through that, you know, we get up, we get knocked down. We get up, we get knocked down. We get up, we get knocked down until finally we plant our feet and like, you know what, we're going to do this. You know, what's the name of that toy? It's like a weeble wobble. You punch it, but it can never fall down. It'll always bounce back up. That's it, you know. You know, and that's how our life, how life can be when it knocks us over and we get back up. We knock us, oh, we got back up. But the thing is to keep getting up. Keep getting up, regardless of the naysayers. Keep getting up, regardless. Yeah. And naysayers could be family members. and especially family members or close relatives, people who are close to you, keep getting up. Anyone who tries to remind you of what you do, keep getting up. Just keep getting up. But the thing is, never stop moving. Never stop getting up.
And so each time that you get up, you move one step forward. I don't care if it's a half a step,
right.
If it's an inch, you move forward.
That's right, because you've learned the lesson. So every time you fall, there's a lesson to be learned. And I love this quote when they said, success comes from the ashes of failure. Success comes from the ashes of failure. And just think about it. If you think you haven't, you know, you're not going anywhere, think about where you were, whether it's a month ago, a few months ago, years ago, and then look at you now. Let that be your motivation. Let it be your motivation. Let it be your motivation. Crystal, I cannot begin to tell you how much I appreciate you being here. I really can. And I'm looking forward. Like I said, she has a show called The Chris Effect. I've had the privilege and the pleasure of tuning in on the show. Most definitely check her out, 6 o'clock every Saturday. It is definitely a treat that you want to have. And if they wanted to get in contact with you, how would they go about doing that?
I am always available to, you can message me on Facebook. My Facebook is my name, which is Crystal Josiah. And also they can reach me at 281-384-1056. For those I don't know, 281-384-1056.
Okay, so I just put it up on the comments if you want to reach out to Miss Crystal Josiah. So, honey, you know you have to come back. I'm just letting you know that. I'm just go ahead and claiming that you want you have to come back. Yeah, you definitely have to come back. And I thank you for the your transparency more than anything, because resilient, you got to have it, you know, because it was your strength. It was your strength to get through what you have gone through. And I appreciate you sharing that, sharing your story, because there are people out there that need to hear it. You know, there's no shame in what's going, you know, there's no shame, you know, or blame, you know, when you find yourself in a situation that you don't need to be in or you're uncomfortable in. There's no shame and there's no blame in getting out, putting out an escape plan, regardless. And mainly escaping from your own. There's no prison or worse prison you could be in but the one that you plant for yourself. Self-love is so important. And, yes, it may feel uncomfortable, but sometimes you got to do things that are uncomfortable until it becomes comfortable in your life. And taking care of yourself is number one. So thank you all for tuning in. And I will say this, we're done with the month of January 2022, you all, and we're going into the month of February. And February is my month of love. And you all know February is very special to me because it is my birthday month, and I was born on Valentine's Day. Isn't that interesting? But the lineup that we have, we're going to be talking about self-love, love when it comes to relationships, love when it comes to being married, to death do us part, and then agape love. I have some wonderful people that will be tuning in who will be on the show throughout the month of February. I just say thank you for God's grace. My name is Patina Kirkendall. I love you, but God loves you more. Have a good night.